1 Samuel 30, this I was intending to preach this message Thursday night, but the Lord took me in a different direction, and I just feel strongly to preach it here this morning. 1 Samuel chapter number 30 and verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away, and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Let's pray. My God, I'm asking today that you would come down and that you, my God, would move this morning. Asking, Lord, that your perfect will would come down in this house, and asking that you would minister to people in this place this morning, and for it we're going to give you nothing but the praise and the glory and the honor. And everyone said, Amen. You may be seated. This is an account that we have preached from many times. And I'm going to come with this at a different angle, an angle that I don't know has ever been came from, at least from me. But we need to realize here, we look here and it says that David and his men, when they came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites, their enemies, had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And, that is just as it was then in David's day. So is it in our day. There is an enemy that wants to come in, and there is an enemy that wants to invade. And, it's just like the devil. The devil makes sure when he comes in that he carpet bombs everything, and that there is just nothing that is left. He tries to make it in people's lives so that they feel totally hopeless. He tries to make it in people's lives so that they feel totally helpless, and that there is nothing that someone can do. Everything that the devil touches, the devil makes sure that he does his very best to leave it in ruins. And here we see David and his men coming back. And from a far off distance, they could see as they were riding in on horseback, they could see that there was a fire on the horizon. They could see that there was something that was going on. And all of a sudden, as they began to start to ride, all of a sudden, the closer they got, they realized, you know what? This looks like home. Something is going on at our home. Something is going on where we live. And they started to ride, and they rode, I'm sure, they rode with a greater urgency, and they rode with a greater fervency. And the closer they got, the more they could start to smell. They could start to smell the fire. If you have ever seen or you have ever been a part of a home fire, that is something that you will never forget. The way that a home smells after it has been burned. It doesn't smell like a campfire. It smells like a house fire. And I can remember years later after our home burned down, and the people across the street from my mom and dad, their bedroom caught on fire. And my wife said that as soon as the guy rang the doorbell and she opened up the door and she saw the wild-eyed look on his face, she said, I could smell the smoke on him, and I knew exactly what it was that was going on. And so the closer they get, the stronger that stench is and the stronger that smell is. And all of a sudden, as they get to Ziklag, they look at where it was that they had pitched their tents. They looked at where it was that they had decided to homestead. And all of a sudden, all of the homes that were there were no longer there. They were burned to the ground. And the only thing that was left, there were no animals that were left there. There was nothing left. The only thing that there was nothing but smoke and ash. And that is just like the devil, wanting to leave nothing but smoke and ash left. And I'm here to tell you today, as we might look outside and we might see the beautiful buildings and we might see everything else, but I'm telling you that we are at a spiritual state where we are in a Ziklag, and that it's all burned, and the enemy of our soul is trying to take our families captive, and the enemy of our soul is trying to do things. And I'm telling you that there has got to be some men, there has got to be some families that begin to rise up out of the stench of the ashes and say, you know what, we are going to seek God. We are going to look to God. We are going to put our faith and in our trust in God. Something needs to rise from the ashes of Ziklag in some lives. I'm telling you that some of you in here tonight, you might feel like you are in the midnight hour. You might feel like your situation is hopeless. You might feel like your situation is helpless. And I'm telling you that God is looking for some people to start to rise out of the ashes and say, I am going to seek God. I am going to seek the face of God. David, when he came, he was greatly distressed. David even began to start to weep. David even began to start to cry. And he wasn't crying because the men were thinking of stoning him. He was crying because he knew that he lost his wives. He knew that he lost some stuff. But all of a sudden, as the swelling began to go and the men began to start to say, I think it would be a whole lot better if David was dead. David, instead of running for his life, David encouraged himself in God. David said, I am going to seek God. David didn't stick his thumb in his mouth. David didn't cry boo-hoo. poor me. I wish that this didn't happen. David said, you know what? God has got to be in this. And I know that I am serving God. And I know that I am following after God. Weeping may endure for a night. I'm here today to say, weeping may endure for a night. But God is trying to let some of you know, you might be like David. You might weep for a while. Start to encourage yourself in God. Start to grab a hold of the horns of the altar. Let the devil know, I'm not going anywhere. I'm gonna still live for God. I know that God is trying to do a work in my life, and I know that all things are working together for my good. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Weeping may endure for a night. David cried for a little bit, but he knew that joy was going to come, because God was trying to rise up out of the ashes of Ziklag. And I'm here tonight to say that God is trying to do something in our lives if we would just let Him. God is trying to do a work in our lives. Let God arise. Let God arise. Let God arise. If you could hear the voice of the Holy Ghost tonight, oh, the Holy Ghost is saying, let me rise in your life. Let me rise in your life. When God arises, His enemies are scattered. Let them also that hate Him flee before Him. I'm telling you, no matter what the devil does, he cannot stand in the presence of God. He's got to flee. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away as wax melteth before the fire. So let the wicked perish at the presence of God. But let the righteous be glad. Let the righteous be glad. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Come on, what would happen here tonight if we just decided, you know what? I'm just going to take a little time right now, and I'm just going to worship God. I'm just going to take a little time right now, and I'm just going to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. If we would just begin to worship God, if we would just begin to praise God, you would start to see God turn all things around for your good. Something's trying to rise here this morning in the ashes of Ziklag. Sing unto God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him that rideth upon the heavens by His name, Yah, and rejoice before Him. I'm telling you that you've got the key to your situation turning around. If you would just begin to pray, and you would just begin to sing praises to God, if you would just begin to rejoice in the Lord always, if you would just, you know what, I don't know how it's going to turn out, but this one thing I know, that the devil's not going to steal my praise. The devil's not going to steal my worship. I will rejoice in God. I will rejoice in God. It is time that the people of God become a nightmare in the enemy's camp. What would happen when the doctor shook his head and said, there's nothing we can do, if you would just throw your hands up in the air and just begin to worship God? What would happen if you got the layoff notice, and when you got it, instead of starting to worry about it, threw your hands up in the air and said, somewhere in the midst of Ziklag, God is fixing to rise, and begin to worship Him. Begin to worship Him. Begin to worship Him. You know what, devil? You can burn it all to the ground, and it could be a pile of smoke, and it could be a pile of heaping ashes. But I'm here to tell you that God is still in Ziklag. God is still in Ziklag. God is still in Ziklag. You might not have a house. You might not have a car. You might not have your health. But God is in the midst of you. It's just stuff
God's not stuff. God is God. And he's still God when we've got nothing. Come on, let's love him. Come on. Oh, what would happen? What would happen? What would happen if we would just begin to rejoice in him? What would happen if we would just raise our hand? I'm telling you, you would start to see a change in your situation. You would start to see a change in your circumstance. Come on, let's love him. Sing, sing, sing unto God. Sing praises. I will sing with the Lord, to the Lord with my whole heart. Sing when you're sick. Sing when you're broke. Sing, sing, sing. Don't let a lack of drums keep you from singing. Don't let what you can see affect what you can't. God is in the midst of us. God wants to give us revival. God wants to give you a turnaround. God wants to give you an answer to some prayers. God wants to do a work. Somebody needs to say yes. Rise up out of your situation and watch God do a work. Come on, Jesus in this house right now. This isn't about me, and this is not about me finishing a sermon. This is about the presence of God in this house and what God wants to do in your life. It's not predicated on me saying this altar is open. It's predicated on you and your faith and what you're going to do with it. I refuse. I refuse to sit in Ziklag. God is wanting to do a work. Don't you feel the presence of God? Don't you feel the presence of God? Don't you feel the presence of God?